Well, hello everybody. Welcome to another podcast coming to you from a deck at a restaurant in Key Largo.
Shipwrecks.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Shipwrecks.
Shout out to Shipwrecks.
Fantastic. Well, as you can hear, I'm not alone. I am here not with Jeff. I am here teaching a tech class after our DEMA show in Orlando. We drove down here to conduct some technical diving. And we've just come back from day one of Tech Creational. With me, I have James Mott, our other UTD instructor. And he joined the class for shits and giggles and asked if we could join. And well, the more the merrier. So welcome to you, James. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, gang.
And the students are Greg, Jay, and Sir Joe.
Wow. You get the title of Sir.
So I figured it would be a nice idea. I mean, if the audio is a bit sketchy, it's because it's recorded on an iPhone. And like I said, we're on a dock and it's a bit windy. But I figured it adds to the ambiance to the whole thing.
Most certainly.
It does, huh?
Yes.
So day one of your tech experience. Greg, let me start with you. What did you think?
It's a lot of firsts for me. I got to play with some new gear, and you know, the argon bottle is new, so I jumped in the water and tried to hit that inflator on my chest. It didn't go. It took me a second. It's getting a little frustrating, so a good flow check would have fixed that.
A good flow check would have fixed a lot of things.
Check would have definitely fixed a lot of things. So that was probably the first learning experience. Didn't even hit the bottom yet for that. So
Nice. What did you expect coming out here?
I came in with high expectations, but I didn't really ask about much. I wanted to get the experience of just seeing what you guys would throw at me. So I thought that if I came in and just kind of winged it, I would get more out of it than trying to prepare for the actual training.
Yeah. So nice. Jay, what's your experience of the first day?
Yeah, it's a great day. I've never been seasick, so that was a first for me. Although I didn't have to visit what's called the VIP.
VIP suite.
Vomit in progress.
Yeah. I love that. I've never heard that before.
That was a good one. But I felt that after the first dive for sure. And I think the experience of the dive or the diving today was really good, because first time I've ever been in the water with these guys as a team. See how we're trained very similarly, but there are nuances and things as a team to work out that we hadn't worked out yet, and so those caused some of the, I think, you know, issues or things that came up under the water. But it was a really good day. Other than the whole day, I felt like I was losing my lunch, and I was regretting my crab sandwich the whole day. Finally, feel better now, back on dry land. Gonna go get some drowsy free drama meme to help for tomorrow.
Cool. Joe. Oh, sorry. Sir Joe.
Thank you, Ben. It's been a wonderful experience today. It's a point of growing pains, you know, personally for me, and I have two new dive teammates, so it was a big getting to know each other underwater day for the first time. So It's a learning curve, and I think it will continue to get better as the days go by, as you know, we start to formulate ourselves as a team.
Yeah, 100%. Before we go any further, James, you're an experienced deck instructor as well. Was it completely out of the ordinary what happened today?
Absolutely not. I mean, this is exactly how I was expecting today to go.
Yeah.
Other than maybe slightly, you were a little too nice to them.
I was nice.
But I would like to, you know, commend Greg on his statement of the way he approached attending is exactly what you want to do in a class like this. One of the biggest mistakes I see people make is they overly stress out and practice something that they really haven't been taught to do yet, right? Which is a way to really get in the water and think and work. And
large highlight.
Oh, food's being served.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Heine.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We need one more of those.
Heine's?
Yep.
Told you we were doing it live. beers and drinks are being served.
But coming into it with really no expectations, to be how you really are in the water is what's key. And that's where you're going to learn the most, is not to come in with a bunch of just superficial practice that you've like really hammered down in the last 2 weeks, which isn't how you really dive, isn't how you really approach things. The way you're going to get the most out of it is to really just show up and let you be you, so we can see how you act underwater, how you think underwater, how you work underwater, how you integrate underwater. That's where you get the most out of it. So you're right on the track.
That's reassuring.
That's exactly my experience as well. Having done this game for a while, I've learned that if I would have planted too many seeds in your mind before, because we didn't do any dry runs yet, I didn't really go in detail over with you how to deal with these simulated failures we were handling, and that's all on purpose. I gave you some parameters to work with, I gave you some hints to work with, and you handled those extremely well. I think your pre-dive planning and your execution of that plan was to a T. You guys stayed within yourself. You guys planned a dive, talked together, preempted situations on the surface, like on the boat, like where you would place yourself. Well, very, very good, very well done. And like James hinted at, there's a reason why I didn't want to go and explain every single detail from day one before you've even had a chance to try it, because it will cloud my image of you as a thinking diver. It's super easy to become a protocol diver. You just read the book, memorize it, and do what it says in the book. But if there's something that's really awkward or strange, you can't deal with it. You need thinking divers. For me to see how you are thinking and what kind of choices you are making based on the given circumstances, it's easier if I put you in the water as a blank slate, almost as a blank slate. So that's what we did today, right? I gave you some parameters, you set out the dive, that was good. And now we can look at the video later after dinner and nitpick certain things and pick them apart and look and give you guys a learning experience on how, and some of them on the surface debrief and the boat ride and just here before the recording of this podcast, we talked briefly about it and you've already had some aha moments and epiphanies, like, okay, if we did a good flow check, we could have caught some stuff. If we reorganized where we do our pre-dive surface exercises in general, it would have been more efficient. Some line laying things were becoming obvious underwater. So again, you guys are right on track. And the good thing in this way is, if I would have explained every single detail down to the minutia on how to deal with the 9 failures we're going to practice, how to lay line, how to tie a knot, how to tie off to a secondary tie, all that sort of stuff, and then you would have made mistakes, then where do we go? I've already explained it. Then all what's end up happening is me repeating it, and you might not get the point still. Because right now you've experienced some small mistakes, and when we now explain those mistakes, I know you'll be paying attention. Because now they also know where to pay attention and what to be vigilant on and looked at. So,
and I think that's a really important point, because for people like me who want to prepare, maybe not get in the water and do a million different things, but who want to know what's coming, want to prepare my mind and all those things, that if you do that, exactly, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
So there is a leap of faith when you sign up for this training, and I want, so what, come on, tell me, so I can prepare a little bit mentally and visualize beforehand, things like that. There's a little bit of a leap of faith, but I'd say after day one for me, I understand now why that's a leap of faith. Whereas before it was kind of like, well, I want to know. So I think that's a good point for other people that are thinking about this course or other courses, and that's unique to UTD. I mean, I've been in other courses, I think, and seen down to the minute what the syllabus is going to be, and I can visualize it, and nothing surprises me, nothing comes out of the ordinary. I stand on a line and I do the drills, versus I had no idea what was coming, and that wasn't the worst part. That wasn't the scary part. The scary part was, okay, I haven't thought all this stuff through, so I need to react as I'm trained, you know, right now.
Yeah.
And then you guys see the gaps, and then will train me to the next level of my reaction. So I think that's a that's a really important point that maybe gets skipped over. And for me personally, knowing that that leap of faith was worth it, I understand it now after day one way more than I did yesterday.
I think that's that kind of speaks on that element of training beyond what you're planning on doing, and then if something happens while you're during your plan, then it's not a big deal because you trained for something beyond that level already. So if you go in trying to reach that level that you haven't trained to yet, it's only going to cascade into worse and worse situations.
That's a good point.
It is going to compound itself.
It's a soup sandwich, as they call it.
So I think that this is the way we train and the way we prepare ourselves for failures makes it so that we don't have to think about those things anymore, and basically everything kicks in on its own, and we automatically follow that because of the training, because of what we've been trained to do, and not take that situation and continue to make it into a domino, into a worse problem than it was in the beginning.
And I mean, these examples you guys are giving, that's exactly the difference between personal skills training, like on a line in front of an instructor, monkey see, monkey do, you do this, okay, great, you do that, okay, great, next thing, next thing, next thing. Now we're making the circle complete, right? We're calling it critical skills training. So failures are being simulated, and you guys as a team have to develop an exit strategy based on those failures. If that failure determines an end of the dive, okay, then do that to the full letter of that word, ending the dive with all the things still failed that weren't able to be fixed, including the gas switches, including all the consequences that will be a natural consequence of said failure in a real scenario. And that's why we call it, there's no such thing as a training dive, there's only real dives, and we simulate certain failures. That's the fake part of it, so.
With that, what we were talking about earlier in the parking lot, the first time that anyone has actually just came up and taken a mask off my face was today, you know. But all my training before this was just, all right, you, take your mask off. Okay, cool. And I've noticed that having the mask taken off and putting on a new mask was not an issue, right? I just pulled it out of my pocket, put it on, done it a million times. It was getting the team's attention when I was behind everyone and getting them to stop what they were doing, because they were, you know, you guys were going without me, and it took you a second for me to signal you guys, hey, I got a problem, turn around. You guys did stop and come back, but that was never really incorporated into any of those personal skills that I've done in the past.
You know, in reality, you know, Ben being the nice guy that he is, you three set up the opportunity for that mask being taken off of your faces. Multiple times with positioning and fins in the faces. I saw you numerous times in frustration of getting kicked in the face already on the first dives that we did. You know, it happened, and that's just learning how to present yourself in the water and be in a place that you're clean and you're safe, but you're also in a place that you can communicate with everybody, that not only, like, you've got an issue of you like to be able to see everybody, you're the teacher of the group, you know, that wants to be the guy that's helping everybody, but at the same time you're not thinking about being in a place for them to easily see you. So you start to learn all that balance, and then, you know, now you see where Ben's starting to heat it up, right? So we take it to that next level. Right, you're going to pay for those
small mistakes. Exactly. To give a bit of context to the listeners, the reason I took Greg's mask after I took Jay's mask and Jay's second mask was because they were running a line, and the captain of the team that running the line in this case was Joe, and Joe kept telling them multiple times to go ahead of them, because if he's the captain running the line, he's the last one in the team coming back to the exit, because he has the safety in his hand, and the white line that's, you know, in front of him is the safety for you guys. So that's your position. And he told you a couple of times, and I figured, okay, this is a patient guy. So this is where the hierarchy started to develop. Right? We got Greg, the surgeon, who's trying to tell Joe exactly to the millimeter where he needs to be. And we got Jay, the teacher, who likes to observe everything and almost demonstrate all the things he's doing. And then we got the nice guy, who's called Joe. He's way too nice with these other guys. So, but hey, yeah, if you stay away from the line, you risk losing visibility, because the line is there for a reason, and that's why the masks went away. So all these failures are going to be, except for the valves breaking, obviously, but all the other failures are usually a consequence of your own small inefficiencies underwater, like turning around with your fins towards the face of the other diver. It's very, very likely that you'll kick the diver's mask either off or at least make it leak, which is not nice. And you know, we have an S drill, which is a safety drill. Turning around and flapping someone's fins in someone's face is called an ass drill, because you're showing them their ass. And we don't like ass drills, we like S drills. So think about that in the positioning thing. But we'll get to that when we do the video later today, and all these things will be clear. So I think it would be nice to record this little podcast to get your first impression of day one, how that was, and the boat and all the things surrounding getting ready for doing technical dives. And I think, yeah, the unique part is this type of training, you don't see me during the dive, right? I'm just above you, mm-hmm. and observing what's happening, filming, and distracting the team with these small failures at certain points during the dive. So you said when we just came out back to the docks, like, okay, so this is what the rest of the week's going to be like, right? Oh, now the food's coming, guys.
Doug's wrap. And then this one goes to this gentleman right here.
Thank you.
Thousand Island.
Yes,
right?
Yes, please.
An extra blue cheese.
Oh, damn you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, about it's setting the pace for the rest of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, great. Well, a little short podcast to get a feel for the atmosphere, and let's talk.
To be continued.
Yeah, let's talk. Maybe in the middle of the week, or otherwise towards the end of the week, towards our finalization of this circus.
We'll see if I puke or not.
All right, guys, our food has come, so we're gonna cut this off. Thank you for listening, and tune in for the next one. Well, hello, this is now the second installment of this podcast. Again, we're at a little diner place at the waterfront. Music playing in the background, so I hope the audio gets through okay. Less windy, so that hopefully doesn't play a role. But yeah, we're good halfway through the course right now. We've been ramping up the critical skills failures. And today was an interesting day. Hi, gentlemen, what do you say? Joe, what do you think? What are your feelings right now?
It was a hard way to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, the things just continued to compound themselves, and they got compounded and compounded, and errors and compounded, and till we were just at a point of, what else do we do now? What else do we do as a group? Mm-hmm. We need to stay together as a group, and we need to figure out what else is our next move.
Did you find solutions for all the things?
Not all, most, some. In different ways.
Well, did you get out of the water?
We're here. We're talking.
So you found solutions for all of it. Were they pretty?
No, they were not.
Oh, okay, great. So what were you saying earlier, Jay, before we dive today? You were saying something about whatever you learn. Oh, food's being served again.
Oh, food.
That looks nice. We're getting Florida style sushi over here. It's a shame you guys can't see this.
This is a podcast. It's called tuna nachos.
Tuna nachos.
You want soy sauce?
Yes, please.
What's that?
Soy sauce?
You want soy sauce?
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
That looks awesome.
Contra.
All right, so back to the podcast, back to the topic at hand. Jay, you're saying something about something or other on... As soon as you know something, there's something new to be learned, something.
Yeah, the law of scuba seems to be, as soon as you're feeling good that you got a handle on things, that's when you get knocked off the horse and you realize you were on the plateau and joined the plateau, and now you're ramping up the next level of learning.
Yeah.
That certainly happened today.
Yeah,
that could
humble pie.
Come on, humble that pie, old saying of complacency kills, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, exactly. I mean, how often do you hear in the news about unexperienced, relatively new divers getting into trouble?
Very rare.
It's rare, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're in that comfort zone of, hey, I know what I know, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that I know I don't know. All that techie stuff and rebreather stuff, I have no idea what that's about, but I know that I have no idea.
Sorry
for the loud people in the background. So that's the safe place to be as a diver, correct? I mean, if you know that there's a stuff out there that you have no clue about, you stay away from it. So what happens when divers get more experience is that line is getting blurred. All of a sudden you take a rebreather class, and you've done that. Now you take a cavern exploration, mini diver, whatever you call it, and you think you're a half cave diver. Okay, I got that sorted. By now you got 150 dives where things did not go wrong, so you're thinking you have a lot of experience, but all you have is a lot of routine, doing the same stuff over and over again. And the difference between the experience and the routine is the fact that experience is gained by doing stuff over and over again, but small things go wrong once in a while. Every time they do, you gain experience. Whenever they don't, all you do is gain routine. Right? So that's why the news is full with experienced divers and instructors and dive masters getting themselves into trouble, because they're in that zone that there is areas about diving that they're unaware of, they don't know. And that's the like evolution of a diver in training at any level. You're always in that comfort zone, and then in that area where there's stuff you don't know that you don't know, and there's stuff you know that you don't know. So the dangerous area is when you think you know it all. Never allow yourself to go there. Always be on the lookout for shit you don't know. Always stay open. Always stay open-minded. Listen to what people are thinking. Even though they're trained in a different way, you never know what kind of gems they might be holding. Right? Great. So, the beginning of the podcast, the first part, was about the first dive and the epiphany about, okay, wow, this is critical skills training. This shit's for real. Right? We've been doing that yesterday. What was your experiences yesterday, Greg, the dive yesterday?
Yesterday was relatively good for us. Mm-hmm. We started catching up on all those critical skills that we needed to really narrow in on, and we're starting to work more as a team.
Yeah.
Comparatively today, it's a little different.
No, gee, I disagree with you on that. You felt it harder, but the team was more aware today, even more aware than yesterday. The failures were getting more complex, and the way we complicate these failures is by either compounding them, by adding a distraction, or by involving the whole team. Those are the three levels we can do. So by compounding means there's one failure you're dealing with, and then there's another failure at the same time you have to deal with. The distraction can be, okay, the failure is given while you're doing something with that reel. Right? That was happened today. And then the last couple...
I like my reel.
Yeah, we have established you like your precious. So the next level is when the whole team needs to be involved. Right? We got a failure like an air share whilst reeling. So now we need one team that clean up that reel, tie it off so we can get the hell out of Dodge. The other one dealing with the air share. So every diver in the team is busy doing something to make the situation as less painful as possible. So yeah, for sure it feels more stressful. That's the whole idea. Okay, so good. Looking forward for the next part. What do you say, Jay?
We'll recover. Mm. The morale of the team certainly is lower than it was yesterday. That's because you're in your head, as I am. I'm in my head of the things that I
could have done more efficiently or better.
Yeah.
To avoid the last consequence, right?
Exactly.
Well, I think we'll learn from it and come back. But it was a good, shakeup. It's a good fall off the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not tech training until somebody gets bloody. So I got that.
Yeah, you
cut
your finger today. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely reality check.
Well,
it's funny that you say it, but I think what did you say earlier, James, about these guys' awareness?
Well, I mean, Jay was just saying a minute ago that, you know, yesterday felt so good, and then today, you know, they're struggling again. But I mean, that's the purpose of good training, is to show you some highs and lows, to show you, you know, show you yourself, really, in a way, like show you where you may or may not break, so that you can become a little bit intimate with it. You know, here we're in a pretty safe, protected area. Really, all the real stress and danger and pressure is really on Ben at this point. You know, he's the one that's dancing with the devil. You know, but he's introducing you to that, you know, so that when you guys are out in the real world, right, and you see this again, you know you've been there. And you know you can tolerate it, and you know you can handle it. Not only can you handle it, you can handle 10 times it, because it got laid on you, and you were able to keep cool. Make a couple of mistakes, but in the big picture, like, you're not hyper-focused on that one little thing anymore. You start to open up and broaden your perspective. But if you've never been intimate with it, and you mentioned plateaus a minute ago, Jane, that's what a good instructor is able to do. A good instructor is able to, you know, show you your level. No matter how good or bad you are, everybody's got room to improve. And if you can't have somebody that's going to show you how to move up a level, like, what are you really paying for the training for? Just to get a card to take you on a different boat, but you don't really improve yourself, you know, as a diver, as a person in the big picture? What did you really earn in that certification? That's what I think Ben does a hell of a job.
Like we talked about before we started the podcast here, the goal for me is to push you just far enough so you get this aha moment. And we have tons of those. If I just push you till you break, that's no point. Right? I can measure how well you realize certain failures and what the reasoning was behind you getting the failure by your reactions at the surface. If you come out of the water clueless, I went too far. Right? The old saying, like we talked about, you can learn from your mistakes, is half right. You can only learn from your mistakes if you know why you made the mistake. And if you get a chance to redo that same thing and now not make the mistake and see what the outcome is, that's when you've learned from your mistake. It's not about making mistakes, because that's easy. It's realizing why you made the mistake, that's hard. So I think today was productive. Yesterday I held back on a lot to build up the confidence. Hey, we can do this. Today I said, we're gonna do a dive, easy dive, same as yesterday. To go into the water with good confidence. And we build up the failures and we make them more complex and more compounding and more demanding. Until you reach a point like, okay, we fixed this, but we don't really know if this is the right way, but we keep dealing with it. And at no point did you break. Because at no point for any three of you was it an option to say, okay, I don't know what to do, let's go to the surface and talk. You kept working the problem underwater. That for me tells me you're on the right track. You're getting in the right mindset. We were diving in 20 feet of water. It would have been easy just to go kick, kick, bloop, surface. Let's breathe. We fucked up. I have no idea what happened there. You know, Jesus, you're being a hard ass, Ben.
That's not training. That's just me being a dick, right? Because I could have done that. I could have taken off masks and, you know, pushed inflators at 20 feet and see if you could fix that. And you pop to the surface and then give the last guy out of mask. I was out of gas. I mean, there's no point in that. That's easy. All we've been doing so far is emphasizing the small mistakes you've made, right? The gas plan was half, so after the failure, that's not fixable. You should be on the way to the surface where you were. You decided to travel back to the upline. That carries a consequence. And boom, there you go. There's the consequence. And you dealt with that. And then you did this. You chose this path. Oh, that's nice, but what about this? There's another consequence. And boom. So I would have kept going just up at the time that you can't handle it anymore. And that's on me. If I would have pushed too far, you would end up at the surface. That's not your fault. That's my fault. I pushed you too far. I broke it past the level of where you can keep up. Right? And it becomes destructive instead of constructive. It's not such, we don't do breakdown dives. We do constructive dives. We set you up for success. Right? You reach the surface, looked like a train wreck. Now you know how to not make it look like a train wreck. That's the idea. Right? Good. Now, are we looking forward for tomorrow?
Yes.
Hmm. Yeah.
Redemption.
Yeah, redemption song.
Redemption.
Yeah. Old Joe here has got the tunes of Bob Marley playing around every so often. I think really good.
Emancipate yourself from mental slavery, man. No one but ourselves can free our own mind.
Here you go. Ain't that the truth? All right, perfect. That's a nice little second part of our little podcast here. Third part should be interesting. So stay tuned for that one. Coming up in a minute.
Well, welcome back to the third and final episode of the this little podcast. Welcome back, boys. We're back at the original little diner here called Shipwreck in Key Largo. Shout out to them. Have nice serving and nice food and nice view. So we just came back from the final dive of your adventure here. How'd it go? Well, Craig, you're to my left, so we'll go with Clock.
I think today went really well. I had a blast. Got some good photos, some glamour shots. You got a little bit of Blue Steel and Magnum.
Yeah.
From all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, today was a fun dive and super clean and everything went well. And, yeah.
Experience that. That's what it was. Perfect. So, what do you think? I mean, how did it go? Like, from a training point of view, what do you think?
I think it was a good culmination of everything we've accomplished and trained for all throughout the week. Everything just sort of fell into place.
Yeah. What do you think? Was it too hard in some cases or hard enough? Or?
Today?
No, in general.
In general, I think it was a really good balance between difficulty and education. If you pushed it too far, what do you really learn? So credit to you and James for really controlling that chaos at just that optimal level, I think.
Nice. That's nice. Yeah, James is not here with us, people. He left. He couldn't deal with us anymore, so he he flew back home. No, he had to leave.
We replaced him.
Yeah, we replaced him with my precious. And James gets that joke right away, but for you guys uninitiated to this week, we use a lot of real work just to emphasize team communication and team positioning. Not that you always do use a reel in technical diving, but it just is a nice distraction and it gives a nice, you know, build up towards maybe in the future some cave diving. And most of all, it's about team positioning and dealing with other stuff while stuff breaks and shit hits the fan. And we gave it the nickname My Precious because some of the dive team, and not naming and not calling out any names, Jay. Sorry. had a hard time letting go of that reel during certain drills. So, and that's completely normal. I mean, everyone does that, but it was just kind of funny because at one point during you guys' cleanup dives, James and I were underwater helping out because we are on a time clock in that special place we were called Jules Underwater Sea Lodge. We had to be out there by a certain time. So we didn't have time for you guys to do the cleanup dive. So while you got yourself sorted out, James and I went down and took the line back up. And when we finished with the line, it was funny because James and I were quite in sync from day one. And I pick up the line and I just pet it like it was a cat. You know, but it could have been Blofeld with his cat in the James Bond movie. It could have been any kind of movie reference. But I was thinking Gollum with my precious from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And James picks out his wet nose. I'm like, what is he writing? Oh, he's going to write something insightful about their training? Is he going to write something that can't wait? We're at 20 feet of water. What is he writing? And then he turns his wet nose around and it says, my precious. And I just flipped out on the water because it was exactly what I was thinking. So from now and henceforward, that reel shall be named My Precious. And it's sitting here at the table where James is supposed to sit with a pair of sunglasses on top of the reel.
So, and a drink.
And a drink in front of it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Thank you.
So, yeah, no, that's funny. They all, always these things during the courses, always something gets some kind of a nickname or stucks in their mind. So, great. Yeah, but hey, thanks, Greg. I think it was nice. It was lovely seeing you grow. You had a good base coming in this class. You had a good base of experience, and it was nice to see you get a lot out of it. It was nice. Joe, my man. Oh, sorry. Mr. Joe. Mr. Shields. Sir Shields. A.K.A. Spirit Level.
Oh, my goodness. It was an amazing journey. It shows you just how when you rally together, when you're working for a common goal of how eventually, you know, through all the adversity, through all of the hard stuff, everybody's still there, everybody's still persevering, everybody's still trying to reach that same goal. Not necessarily some lofted certification goal, but satisfaction in completing a task, satisfaction in tuning a skill, and satisfaction in increasing your intuition. And interaction with each other. Yeah, it was a rough start with communication for us as three individuals who had never met before.
Mm.
But and our ages are quite varying. So that's always a hard point and a gap in communication between, you know, usually older people and younger people. But we seemed to find our way through things, especially when we were able to share our successes and our failures, you know, through this whole amazing process. And with these two young gentlemen here, they are very finely skilled. And
did you hear he called me a young gentleman?
Or
did
that was me. Oh,
sorry.
It was me. And,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Baby face and then two gentlemen.
I mean, but none of this could have been brought together if it wasn't, you know, for our instructors. I can't see any other combination, no other possibility. All of the stars happened to line up to have Ben and James here to work with us and bring us through this and bring out the best in us.
Why? I think the quality of these classes, in my experience, is heavily dependent on what the students bring. So instructors, yeah, we know how to do these things, we know how to teach these classes, but in students bring a certain amount of enthusiasm to these classes, and I think always that when that's reflected, that's what makes the class great, I think. So
yes,
don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, I was given an opportunity to participate in this class because a very close mentor, a very close friend to me, says, you know, I've been able to help you, you know, to get to this point, you know, with her wonderful skills, but I need to give you to someone else who can take you to another.
Are you talking about Tanya?
Yes,
I am. No, Tanya? No, yeah, I agree, Joe. Tanya is wonderful. We're lucky to have her.
So it was through her urging me and through her type of personality that got me to say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try. I'm going to give it all I have. That's where I am.
Yeah, you did that. That's for sure. It was nice. I mean, it was a perfect example of looking at three divers where they're all in a different like point in their diving career with different end goals and different skill levels coming in. And some weak points, some strong points. And I think you complemented each other very well. And that's what it's all about. I guess, as you mentioned like earlier, hey, diving with someone you've never known, that's the deal. You get dealt. When you go out on a trip, you get an insta buddy. And you never know. So this type of training also learned and teaches you how to read very quickly other divers, right? And
yes.
And your own situational awareness and comfort on the water and that extra mental capacity you get from this intense training. I think the biggest advantage of it is it gives you that helicopter view that we talked about a lot of the times, right? It's all good and fun if you know how to do a perfect back kick, and how you know a perfect valve drill, or a perfect gas switch. But if that's done in your own little bubble, and you're completely oblivious to the fact that your buddy behind you, or beside of you, or in front of you, has eyes the big as teacups, it's kind of pointless, right? So, really, I want to tip my hat to you guys for never sacrificing that port. That portion of the training is always that was in the forefront of your minds. And that's what, for us, the skill level is secondary and will become very automatic, but will make your life so much easier if you stay like we start in position, know where your teammates are, learn what you expect. So you're all basically thinking the same thing at the same time during these dives. And it's super evident today, you were all switched on talking to each other. Yes, we had one that was the designated deco captain, but it was never a unilateral decision. It's like, hey, you guys ready to move up? I'm on the clock here. It's my job to herd the herd. And you had your mind switched on. It's like, hey, yeah, should we go up? It's like, question mark, deco, what? Oh, okay, we can go up a little bit. Okay, great. Like, you were to stop at 18 meters. You asked eight. Oh no, wait a minute. Yes, average depth was so and so, so we can go a little bit shallower. That's nice. That's the switched on team, right? And that's what's the strong part. And that can only be accomplished not by a good back kick, not by a perfect valve drill, not by trim, not by the most expensive equipment. That can only be accomplished by a diver that has residual mental capacity underwater. Now, the way you build up residual mental capacity is by getting your shit together. By learning trim, focusing on the easy stuff, right? The simple, the basics. The better and simpler and more controlled your basic skill level is, the more you can deal with underwater. Your head is less tasked. And that's why, even though we're doing dives that are complicated, with gas switches and all that sort of stuff, this gives you that extra level of awareness. Excuse the neighbors. So yeah, nice to have you. Ooh, the food is being served again. All right, while this food is being served, my man Jay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Let me introduce him correctly. Our newest UTD instructor, Jay.
Hey.
Jay Gardner.
Yes. That was an added surprise from the week.
Yeah.
A welcome surprise. Yeah, I think to echo what you said, I think when you come, your mindset coming into a training like this is there are skills to be learned or skills that you need cleaned up on and things like that. I think my biggest takeaway from the week is, yes, there are certainly skills and there's equipment to deal with. But the biggest part of training for me that I'm taking away is training on how to think. Not what to think. This is the only way to do it. Yeah. Here's the process. But how to approach the thinking part of being a thinking diver in a situation, right? And I think I liked something that you said at the very beginning of the week is that there really aren't any wrong answers, or I mean, there are some wrong answers, but there aren't any. There's not a wrong way to solve the problem. The problem gets solved, but there are more efficient ways to solve the problem in the water. And I think that's been echoing in my head of, you know, the mental training of this week, I think was way more intense and transformative for my diving than necessarily the physical skills or equipment management under the water.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Yeah, exactly. Because it's so important, like that, and it's really something that I always say in the beginning of these classes. It's like, okay, if you get the problem solved, it's only about that you do it in the most efficient way.
Right.
Because I don't want to, you know, we don't want to put ideas into people's head prior to them having tried it. And this is the reason why the first dive, the warm-up dive, I kind of let you go in on the blank slate, right? You've seen the materials, you know all the stuff. In theory, you know exactly what to do in each scenario. However, I'd like to get a baseline reading of the team's thought process, like you just mentioned. The protocols are one thing, but how do you apply the protocols is a whole other ball game.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, separates the, how do you say, the sheep from the men? Thin the herd?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is...
Chef from the wheat.
Yeah, exactly. This is a clear, in my view, how you spot a good diver. A good diver is not per se the one that's going to be perfect in trim or has the best equipment or looks squared away, looks cool underwater. He can be good at his skills, but a good diver knows when to apply certain protocols and when to negate them. Kudos. You were on your way to becoming an instructor. You were lacking a little bit. And behind the scenes, I kind of worked on that a little bit. And then, you passed. Congratulations, Mark.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
Glad to be a part of your team.
Cool.
That means you're buying drinks, right?
No, I think everyone else buys me drinks. I'm no longer the grunt. I've taken one more step up. No, I'm kidding.
Cool. All right, guys. So, congratulations one more time. It was an absolute pleasure teaching you. And I mean that. It's really nice to get enthusiastic people over that really want to learn. And you never went inwards and thought, I'm a shit diver, I don't want to do this anymore, it's just too much, I can't care. You kept being hungry for more. Made mistakes, okay, more hungry. Oh my God, complete train wreck dives, come out of the water, totally mentally destroyed by your own doing. I was like, me and James were like, okay, what the hell did they do themselves now? And you built it back up. So, very nice. Very nice. Great. We are waiting on the food. So, thank you all for listening. I hope you found it insightful to be with us on this journey, this three-level podcast, the one before, the one in the middle, and then the one at the end. We had great fun here in Key Largo. So, we even, like, by a hair, missed the Hurricane Nicole that passed us by. So...
And a big lucky. Shout out to Horizon Divers here.
Yeah, big shout out to Horizon
and Island Murata.
Island Murata and Florida Keys Dive Center.
Yeah.
And Jules Underwater.
And Jules.
Don't forget Jules.
Yeah. Thank you to all four locations. Because we had to adapt.
Right, exactly.
I mean, we had to go to different locations. So.
Thank you for that wonderful staff. It was a true pleasure.
Oh, yeah. It's nice to be in an area where people actually know what they're talking about and know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, kudos to you guys. And we saw our lucky charm at at Jules.
Manatee.
Big ass manatee swimming right underneath us. I've always thought that these were mythical creatures. I've been so many places in the world where they say, oh yeah, we get manatee here. And you dive there and you dive there and you see other people. Oh, we saw a manatee this morning. And then you think, okay, great. Maybe we'll see it in the afternoon. No manatee. Oh, the next morning you go dive. Oh, maybe it's only here in the morning. No manatee. You get the divers from the afternoon. Hey, we saw a manatee. Fucking hell.
you saw two this trip.
I saw two this trip. Right. One underwater and one in the harbor.
How many divers did you say you have? Like thousands and thousands.
9,000, a little bit over 9,000.
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy to be with somebody with 9,000 divers and only have a first.
Yeah.
You're part of a first.
There were a couple firsts for you, which was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. First time having key lime pie.
Yeah, key lime pie.
Key lime pie. All right, guys, thank you very much. Remember to subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a rating at Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. And hope to see you out there. Remember, stay sharp.
Just keep diving.
Keep diving.